Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got the one and only Adam Kinzinger here joining us. Thank you again, by the way, for doing this.
It's great.
Appreciate it. I know, thank you for your friendship. I know with what I'm doing, we're going to be talking after this and all that stuff. So again, thank you for all that. Guys, go out and get his book, Renegade, available where books are sold. It really is definitely worth it. New York Times bestseller, and it's damn good. And it's kind of like a hard hitting, like a come to Jesus type thing. A lot of that matters, man. Like, and so I appreciate the,
Look, it's really easy. It's really easy that, you know, we've lived these 12 years that I was in politics, but we've lived as long as we're conscious about politics as Republicans. And, you know, it's just this like little changes every day.
Yeah.
It's easy to get kind of sucked into that. And I think there's an importance in looking back and saying, where have we really come? And what is it that we claim we believe? And are we actually following through on that? And obviously, I don't think so.
I want to talk about Ukraine a lot. A question came up. The people that want to distract from January 6th, is that valid? Are Americans over that? Or how much should we keep holding people account to that?
Look, I was actually ready to move on from January 6th after the election because, you know, my view was this election was going to be the thing that determines the importance of January 6th. And obviously, I think January 6th is very important. I think most Americans think it's important, but they happen to think the price of eggs, which are going up, by the way, under Trump,
right.
They happen to think that was more important. And I understand that, right? Like, you know, esoteric and academic exercises aren't always the most compelling things on Maslow's hierarchy. That's fine. I think historically it's going to be seen as an incredibly important moment. I think when Donald Trump came in and released the criminals and gave them pardon, I think it kept January 6th on the headlines. So like I said, I was ready to move on. He came in and said, I want to keep this in the American consciousness. And it is. By the way, there have already been 5 pardoned January 6ers that have either been shot by police or rearrested. That number is only going to go up because these weren't people that got sucked in, you know, to the Donald Trump thing. They were bad, and they ended up using their badness on behalf of Donald Trump. And they're going to do it again.
Yeah, the party of Back the Blue. Isn't that weird, eh?
Yeah.
So speaking of bad things happening, Donald Trump, who was impeached the first time for a quid pro quo with Ukraine, told Ukraine, yes, we'll give you aid as long as you give us access to your mines. Weird. What leadership vacuum is happening right now on the world stage in places like Ukraine?
Go ahead.
Please. No, and what can we do about it? That's...
Look, on the mine situation, I actually think it's a smart move on Ukraine to talk about that and use it because, look, the reality is if it's not an ally of Ukraine that is America that's going to get access to some of this, it's going to be the Russians, obviously, through force,
yep,
or the Chinese through influence. And so that's fine. And if that is utilized to actually keep Trump engaged in Ukraine, it's sad that that's what they have to do.
Right.
But fine. But the lack of leadership on the world stage is stunning right now because, look, we have real competitors. We have real enemies out there. We have Iran. We have Russia. We have China. Donald Trump, can you tell me anything? Nobody can because he hasn't. Anything that he has done to stand up to China, slight a few more tariffs. Anything he has done to stand up to Russia, nothing. Anything he's done to stand up to Iran. But what he has is really stood up to the Danish on Denmark.
Yeah,
he's right. Really talked about how we're going to take the Panama Canal back, invade Canada now, yes, and start a drug war in Mexico. And so because he is a small, scared, weak, honestly, boy, he's still a boy from when his dad wasn't giving him enough attention.
Yeah.
He is going to threaten things that are weaker than him, people that are weaker than him, because that makes him feel tough. It makes him look tough in the absence of him actually being tough with people that he needs to be tough to. So I think, look, our allies are scrambling, the world is scrambling, and China is laughing because they're going to step up and fill that vacuum. You shut down USAID. Look, USAID is not about – I was a big supporter of USAID. It's not about peace hippie crap giving people a bunch of free things. This is about American soft power that is utilized to push back against the Russian and the Chinese. The Chinese and the Russians are super happy right now that we're shuttering USAID because they'll come in with their money and replace it in a heartbeat. So, yeah, the leadership is gone. And all this American blood, treasure, and toil to create a post-World War II order where we were on top is really a threat.
Yeah, and it was interesting, and I think it might have you go to the guys at the Niskanen Center, right? I think it was Jeff that said that one of the biggest repercussions from the Trump one was all the brain drain that happened in Washington, and where the best and the brightest, they're like, yeah, screw this, I can't. Mm-hmm. And now, 40,000, I think I saw, took that buyout, and I mean, I don't blame them. Like working under threat and work, like it's unconscionable what's happening.
Well, this is how like, not to be too dramatic, but it's how authoritarians take control.
Oh, yeah.
They come in and they say, you have a choice. You either comply with us or we'll buy you out to leave. And so if you're a person that's not interested in complying, you're going to take the buyout. Either way though, the authoritarians win because you're gone. You're out of government. Yeah. And the thing to keep in mind is, you know, and I'm guilty of this, talking about the growth of the federal government and all this kind of stuff. In reality, from 1970 to today, the federal government really has not grown at all.
Yeah.
In fact, per capita, there are many less government employees per person than there were. And so, look, I think we need to understand that. And go, fine, if there are areas where we can cut waste, areas where people can, through attrition, by the way, people through attrition can be let go, that's great. But there has to be a process that is not Elon Musk, you know, taking a payment to Politico and lying and saying it's USAID and creating misinformation. It needs to be a legitimate legal process that doesn't exist right now.
So talk about what you're doing. You have people that are going to go to Ukraine to help as well with your organization. Yeah. I saw, holy cow.
Yeah, so I've got an organization, Country First. It's country1st.com. And this really started as an effort to save the GOP and as migrated into an effort really to save
well, that ship
democracy.
Has sailed, right?
Yeah, that ship sailed.
Yeah.
We have as many Democrats, independents, and you know, sane Republicans now. And we've been engaged from our political side in trying to take out people. We were part of taking out Madison Cawthorn. We got Democrats
in
the Republican primary. It was great. you know, I consider it democracy building here at home. But sending a group. Yeah, it's wonderful. We're sending a group of people to Ukraine to both help in medical side of things and the humanitarian side of things for 3 weeks. We'll do that in the spring or summer whenever we can get that knocked out. Because I think it's important for us to show that, you know, while who knows what the government's going to do with Ukraine, hopefully that not abandon them, the American people stand with them. And I think it's important for us to send that message.
It's so wild how people don't understand why that's important and how that matters is, you know, we can fight that front without risking one American life as long as we support our friends. It's not that hard to understand.
Look, it's this idea that, look, America can walk and chew gum.
Yeah.
Right? We can focus on domestic issues and also keep our international leadership. We can stand up and by the way, and I think it's important to mention, all of the aid that goes to Ukraine is not, very small exception of it, is not written as a big check to Ukraine.
Right.
It is actually written to buy US defense articles.
Right.
To replace old defense articles that we were getting ready to spend money on destroying anyway.
Right.
We send those old defense articles to Ukraine where they can use them instead of having to have them destroyed. And in the process, you know, Oshkosh has a big defense facility.
Sure do.
They get new orders. The American defense establishment, which needed a refreshment, gets refreshed. And our military stocks get updated. This is a win-win, frankly, for everybody. Unfortunately, the Biden administration did a terrible job explaining that, and it seemed like he just wrote a big check.
Yeah, that's you talk about messaging. That's a big problem. I want to ask, too, through all of this, have you, because I know I have changed on things, you know, when you kind of take a step back from where you were in the Republican Party and, like, you're a little punch drunk, it's like, oh, my God, okay. And you look around. Have you had any positions change? Have you changed personally?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, you know, first off, the personal change has been like you recognize that Democrats aren't the enemy, right? Mm. By the way, there are some extremists out there on the left. Let's be clear.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about them. They're still bad.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But like, Democrats are our allies in this fight, and they love democracy as much as I do. I would continue to tell them that they need to be a little better at accepting differences in policy, because that's actually what democracy is and it's for. But then things like the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, you know, when we voted against that in the House, it was because, look, it was, you know, more federal government control over state, you know, carrying out. It was a holdover from Jim Crow era. And I voted against that, saying we don't need these holdovers from the Jim Crow era. But now when I look back, it's like, no, actually, the Democrats were right. The Republicans are intending to change who can vote in the South and why. Now, the problem, and I would say to people that are big fans of the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, as an example, is that gives the DOJ a lot of control over these laws. And it's now Trump's DOJ. So just keep that in mind. But things like that, yes, absolutely, I've moderated on. And because, yeah, you get a chance to step back, take a deep breath. And I also recognize, as a Christian myself, Democrats can be Christians too.
Yes. I think it was, I don't know if it was on Inauguration Day, but we were texting back and forth and you told me, you said, you know, you said, today is a dark day, but I still am hopeful. What gives you hope?
Well, you know, as John McCain always said, he goes, it's darkest before it gets pitch black. So I always think that's funny. But, you know, the thing that gives me hope is just, look, I it's history. You look at history and we go through these swings, these pendulum swings. Now, I thought we were at an extreme and obviously we had some room to go. But I don't think it can stay that way. We're what, 2 weeks into the administration? And already Elon Musk's popularity has collapsed. Donald Trump's is no better than it was. Like, I think they're going to stretch too far, and ultimately, they're not going to be able to get done what they want to. They're creating a lot of smoke right now, but they're not going to be able to pass the bills they want. So, and I still believe the court system works, even though I have some concerns, obviously, with the Supreme Court, but I think the system works. So I have hope that in the long run, we come back from this. Because honestly, if I didn't, I'd go do something else. This is a waste of time if I didn't. But I'm also going to say it's not automatic, and that's why it takes some effort.
Yeah, you know, it's, yeah, one of the things that I think gives me hope too is that, you know, there are so many of the Republicans in Congress and the Senate right now that are tied so tightly with someone who is terrible. And I think Liz Cheney said that, you know, Donald Trump will leave.
He will.
But your actions will stay with you. And here in our congressional district, we have a guy that put Donald Trump's name on top of his own and all of his yard signs. He's done.
That's so insane.
That's stupid.
That's such a cult, by the way.
Yes.
It's a freaking cult.
I know. So bad.
That's nuts.
Yes. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that we can work on. And I hope you keep pushing, man, because.
Look, I will. And I'll say this to people, too, is like, take the burden to save the country off your shoulders. Right. Yeah. Everybody walks around with this burden of like, man, if I just tweet one more thing or if I do, I can save the country. And you live in this perpetual, like, you know, it's like working out. I work out a lot, but you always have this feeling that like I'm not working out enough. Right. And the reality is for a 46-year-old dude, I'm working out plenty. It's the same thing with politics, which is like, take that burden off your shoulders, because when you carry that, you eventually you'll break, you'll wear out. We all do. There is no human that can push through that. So make it sustainable so you can stay in the fight for 4 years. That's what we need. We don't need you, you know, putting out another tweet that's going to break you mentally, because that's going to save the country. It ain't, but we can all do it together. That's the key.
Yeah. And I as we part here, I thank you so much. I'm proud of what you did. I'm proud of what you do.
I'm proud of you, by the way. Let me just brag about you. Thanks for doing the public thing that you did. It's not easy. And you're a local figure. You guys come under much more threat than national figures, because, you know, you're more touchable to people. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. And all the best to your wife, your son. And we'll keep talking down the road, brother. Thank you very much.
Back at you, my friend. Thank you.
Take care. Adam Kinzinger, everybody on the Rational Revolution. Thank you very much.